Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, and the plans of the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Hey, over the next few minutes, I want to speak to you from this idea. Stop swiping. Stop swiping. Come on, would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to just come before you. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us. Lord, that we would align ourselves with your truth right now. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would grab our hearts, Lord, and that you would turn us, that you would grab our attention, and that you would turn us, Lord God. I pray that the internet, Lord God, whichever way that we're watching right now, that it would be focused, Lord God, and steady, that this message would go forth, Lord, that our audio would align with your spirit right now, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that our minds, that our spirits would be open, Lord God, and that we would be able to receive the word that you have for us here today, Lord. I'm believing in Jesus' name that this is probably one of the most important messages that I ever preached, that you ever spoke to me. It changed my heart, it changed my mind, it changed my spirit. And I pray, Father, that you would do what you did in me, Lord God, with my brothers and sisters, those that are watching right now, that you would bring clarity and that you would give us the tools, Lord God, to be able to push back the ranks of Satan, Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in your beautiful name that we pray, Lord God. Amen and amen. Stop swiping. Hey, my wife, who is here, and I love her so much. She got mad when I told her I was going to tell this story, but I'm a grown man. I do what I want to do. I'll pay for it later. My wife is just a beautiful specimen of what Jesus is. She's just amazing. She is a beautiful bride. My wife is the type of person that, like, people just come up to her and they're like, "I just killed a puppy. I'm sorry." Like, they confess and they come to her, "Give me advice. What do I do?" And she's like, she just has this mother spirit. Come on, if Lyd has been that mother spirit, that big sister spirit in your life, do me a favor and put some hands up, put some praying emojis, some hearts. Let her know that we love her, that we care for her, that we're excited about her, and that we value and we honor her. Man, Lydia is just beautiful, man. She just has this warm soul. She just, when you talk to her, you just feel like, man, I just want to hug you. Like, I want to be there. Me, privately, I know another side of Lyd that I see every now and then, not that much, praise God. And every now and then, I think probably I can count in one hand how many times the public has seen this side. And this side has a name. It's called 26 Cents. My wife, if you know her from her Bible college days, she had a nickname. It was 26 Cents. And if you saw 26 Cents, run. I'm at this, a couple instances that happened on this one specifically, not so long ago. We're at Home Depot. And we're sitting here, we're grabbing a truck because we were going to do an outreach and we needed to fill the truck up with some resources. Thank you, Greater Church, to be able to bless people. And it's funny because I'm there and the guy is like, he's on the computer and he's like, oh man. And he starts doing those. So when he does those, I just grab Abigail and I walk off. And I just, you know, I let Lyd kind of deal with it and talk to her and all of this. And I'm playing around with Abby around the store at Home Depot. We're like jumping off stuff. We're doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. You know, we're safe with COVID and all that stuff. And as I'm holding her, you know, I just kind of look and I start seeing that 26 cents starts coming out. She starts getting a little hot. So I kind of walk over there and I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" He's like, "Well, I'm sorry, but somebody requested this truck for tomorrow morning and I don't see your paperwork or your name here." And I'm like, "What truck was I going to get?" And the guy was like super vague. So I just saw things kind of getting a little heated. And I was like, "You know what, babe, come on, let's just leave." And we go outside, we get to the car. And when we get to the car, my wife is sitting there and she's just calculating this stuff in her mind. And she's like, "But How does he know our name if I never told him my name? Or how does he know this if we never did this? And she starts adding it all up. And I'm like, okay, let's just go in there and have a conversation with him. So we go in there and we have a conversation with him. And I just ask him, yo, what's my name? And what kind of truck do we have? And he's like, oh, your name is Ramses Echeverria, and you set it up for this day and for that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm glad you know. And I kind of walk off, and I'm kind of talking to my wife as I walk off. I'm holding Abby, and I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe we made a mistake and we didn't look. And as I walk to the center aisle, I turn around. I see that my wife is still there talking with this guy. I'm like, oh, man, it's going down. So I just kind of watch her while I hold Abby. I'm like, let her do her thing. Fast forward 10 minutes later, here I am in a truck. I don't know where he got the truck from. He made the truck. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how my wife did it, but she put the fear of God inside of Buddy, and he gave us the truck. And here I am driving away like, praise God, 26 cents saved us today. And it's hilarious because my wife is just a beautiful soul. She has these moments. But this is what the bride of Christ should be like. The bride of Christ who is beautiful, that Jesus gave his life for. This is the example that she is an instructor, that she is beautiful. She's a teacher. She has wisdom. But there are these moments that God has called us to be a warrior bride, that he's called us to contend and to fight and to stand up for things that are wrong. This is who God has called us to be, not to sit in the sidelines. We've never been the type of church that has sat there and just watched life happen. No, no, no. The Church of Jesus Christ has always been the one that lead in the forefronts of science and education and social justice. When it comes to feeding and to be able to do all of these things that we see, the things that people are now leading, these are the things that the church started, that the church was the one that began with drug abuse or helping with drug abuse, that the church was the one that was starting with all type of psychiatrists and being able to model what it like to help people. This season that we find ourselves in, the church shouldn't shy away. The church should be in the front lines. It has always been in the front lines. We're warrior bride. We are supposed to fight in this season. What's true in the Old Testament physically, it's true in the New Testament spiritually, that we're warriors, that there are promises that God has given, that there was land that was taken, that the men and women of God, the children of Israel, the Christians, that they contended and that they fought. That's me and you. We have this fighter spirit inside of us, but I feel sometimes like we lost our grit. We're a Joshua generation. Moses steps into the picture and he delivers the children of Israel. They get to the Red Sea. He makes a mistake. He is not allowed into the land. But what happens before is that they go into the land and they see, they spy it out. There's big grapes. There's all this beautiful stuff, but they see the giants and they get afraid because of the fear and not trusting in God. In that moment, God says, this generation will not inherit the promised land. 40 years passes. There's a brand new generation led by a brand new general. His name is Joshua. And God says, I am going to give them the land. We're that Joshua generation that goes into Canaan and that we grab everything that God has given us, that we fight and that we contend in the spirit. But if I'm honest with you, sometimes I feel like we're the Karen generation where if we don't like something, we want to talk to the manager. I don't really feel this. I don't like this friend of mine, so I'm just going to unfollow him. We discontinue any relationship. We cut off anything quick that we don't like. We just completely unfollow them. We cancel. We're a cancel generation. I don't like this. I don't want to do this stuff. We just quit everything. I feel like we've lost our grit. Like we don't know what it's like to pray till 3 o'clock in the morning until the husband comes back home, or to pray for that child until he stops doing drugs, and to begin to seek God and to change the doctor's notice when the doctors are saying cancer is going to take. That we're a warrior bride that stands there and says, I'm not going to listen to a praise report from a doctor that's telling me that I'm going to die, but I'm going to contend here and I'm going to stand here and I'm going to watch as the cancer diagnosis gets turned around. We are a spirit. We have the spirit of God inside of us. There was a time where we would get excited about trials. We would get excited about the storms. If opposition came against us, the church of God would get excited because we knew that behind the problem was our promise. We understood that there were promises over our family, that there were promises over our finances, over our future. But for us to get there, we had to fight. This series that we're starting here today, Fighting With Your Eyes Closed. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about fighting. Yeah, we can worship. And yeah, we can lift hands. We can have wishful thinking all you want. But God told us that for you to reach that promise, that you're going to have to fight. He gave you a promise. You're going into full-time ministry. You're going to have to fight with that. You're going to have to struggle through that. You're not just going to get stuff. And I feel like me and you together, man, we got to get our grit back. We got to get our strength back. We got to fight with our eyes closed. Paul starts this scripture off saying, finally, I want to summarize everything that I've talked to in the previous five chapters. And in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, here's the culmination of it. It's like watching TV with somebody who always tells a story. Yo, I can't stand those people. I don't want to watch TV with you. Oh, watch, he's going to kill her, and then you're going to understand the whole thing. Why are you telling me this? I want to watch this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't good advice. This isn't self-help. This is a commandment that God is giving us. I want you to be strong. Chino, I'm under attack. My family's under attack. My finances are under attack. I don't know what to do. Be strong. Be strong. I feel like, if I'm honest with you, and I'll take responsibility, I feel like the church has failed in certain areas. I feel like we've created this kind of like whimpering generation that we don't know what it's like to be strong and powerful under the might of Jesus Christ. When something is wrong, we've taught you how to cast it away and cast it. You don't have to receive that. Our favorite word is rebuke. We rebuke that. And we don't know what it's like to fight up under pressure. Our very foundation is of a man who had to endure the cross, who was whipped, who was bloody, who was pinned up on a cross and never stopped. Not only that, but he who died on a cross said that if you want to follow me, then you yourself have to pick up your cross. We've taught you that if you have enough faith, that you don't need to pick up your cross. We've taught you that your strength is determined by how much faith and how much you can cast and rebuke demons. And if I'm honest with you, there's some crosses and some things that we have to carry. For the strength of God is not shown in how much you cast away. The strength of God is shown in how much you endure. Jesus Christ endured on this cross. And while he was up there, he was ministering. While Jesus was on that cross, he was teaching. He was rebuking. He was interceding for us. He was teaching forgiveness, adoption. While Jesus was in the midst of the cross, he was still working. He held death at bay. Death, you can't touch me, for I lay my life down, until he was finished with the work. And then he said, it is finished. And then he allowed for death to take him. But he stood there and he contended. Stephen, who was in the Bible in Acts chapter 8, he sat there and he was getting stoned while he had a smile on his face looking at heaven because he was strong in the Lord. Paul, who went through shipwrecks, who got beaten, who did so many different things, so many exploits under the power of God because he was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You remember in church when they used to have testimony times? I think we should bring testimony. What y'all think in the chat? Throw some hands up if you think we should have testimony. Y'all remember that? It would get weird at some times. But testimony time was amazing because you'd hear some incredible things. I'm a little afraid of what this generation would look like if we had testimony time in heaven, when the disciples would be like, I got cut in half. I got dipped in oil. I was hung upside down. Me and my family were completely eradicated. Our neighborhood, our tribe was completely eradicated. That's what we paid for Jesus. And I feel like this generation could step up and, hey, so what happened to you? How did you sacrifice for the cross? Well, people talked about me. I shared a message on Facebook and my old high school people were like, oh my God, you're a Christian? You're so stupid. Let me show you something. Don't get offended. Listen to me. I want you to show you something. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about the mystery of iniquity. Here's what's happening, is that right now in the physical, yes, there are places in the world where people are getting hung upside down, where they're getting cut in half, where they're actually burned alive. Yes, contending for the faith in certain countries can actually have physical ramifications where you can lose your life. But for the most part, Satan has completely moved his attack from the physical into the spiritual. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, the church of Laodicea, it says, you look amazing on the outside. You have all the money and you have all the goods and you have a smile on your face, but inside you are wretched and destroyed. Jesus called you white sepulchres, calls them white tombstones, where on the outside they look beautiful, but on the inside they are filled with death and decay. What happens is that behind the scenes, the devil is attacking in so many different ways in the spiritual realm. Why do you think you're always tired? Why do you feel like you can go to sleep at a decent time, and you can wake up at a decent time, but yet you still feel tired, like you couldn't get a night's sleep? You feel troubled, like these thoughts of loneliness and lust. You're driving around in your car and you don't even know where you're going sometimes. You're just lost in thoughts. Satan is bombarding your mind. You're anxious and I can't go to sleep. And you were sleepy just a minute ago, but now here it is that you're sitting in the bed and that you're crying for absolutely no reason. And over top of you, there's this warfare that's going on. The reason why you're so tired is because your spirit is fighting more than it has ever fought in life. You're contending in these moments. You're fighting in these moments. Your spirit is fighting. And husbands are leaving their wives and they don't even know why they're leaving their wives. Husbands are saying, yo, I don't want to be a part of this relationship. I don't know what it is, but just my mind, I just don't know. And wives are like, they're having dreams with another man. And they're thinking, I don't even like that type of man. He's not even cute. But your mind is thinking about him and your thoughts and you're fighting. And you find yourself in a space where you're just like, yo, why am I having these thoughts? Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Satan has moved his attack to the spiritual side. Yo, I'm not trying to get all kooky and weird. And don't get all like, oh my gosh, what's going on right now? I'm watching a sci-fi movie. No, this is the Bible. This is what's happening in your life. This is the Satan that's attacking you right now. And you need to be able to know what it is that you're doing. Because back in the days, there was a time that you knew what you had to pray for. You knew what it was. You knew what you were contending with. But all of a sudden now you're confused. And you don't know why you want to leave this job. They're paying you well, but I can't be here anymore. You left the church and they were feeding you and everything was going good. I just can't be here anymore. I don't know if it was the music. I don't know what it was, but I just want to leave. Yo, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 144, verse 1, David says, the Lord has taught my hands to war and my fingers to make war, to fight and to make war. What he's saying right there is that God is teaching you how to be able to fight this type of fight. For this type of fight is not physical. If it was physical, you're witty enough. You're smart enough. You know what to say. You know how to combat and you know what to say back. But the thing that is hitting you and the thing that is fighting you, it isn't talking. This thing that is fighting you in the demonic forces. These things are fighting you in the spiritual right now. This fight is not something about talking. This fight is actually not carnal. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, for the wages, the tools, the way that we fight, for our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is mighty. It is not in the carnal, but it's God in pulling down and in strongholds and in ripping them apart. This is what God has given us. He's given us battle tools. Your fight is not against flesh and blood. Your fight is not against a man. It's not against your boss. It's not against your wife. Hey, listen to me. The fight isn't against your husband. Hey, can I take it a step further? Hey, your fight isn't against the police. Hey, your fight isn't against a white person. Hey, your fight isn't against a certain race. Your fight is against Satan. There are weapons of warfare that Satan is unleashing on you and your mind. And we're sitting here trying to fight in the physical when in reality, we can't fight in the spirit, in the physical. This thing is spiritual. Satan is trying to take you and your life. Please understand that the season that we're in right now, unfortunately, as much as we don't want it to, when it comes to racial issues, it's going to also pass. We're still going to fight for it. I've given my life to this. We have pictures with Trayvon Martin before he passed away. We've been doing this for a lot of years. But what's going to happen is that this is going to subside and hopefully it's still on your heart. And hopefully you're still going to contend for people who don't have a voice. And hopefully you're going to stand up for the disenfranchised. Hopefully you're going to fight for the fatherless, for the widows. Hopefully you're continuing this thing. But there's going to come a season where this is not going to be the popular thing. But Satan is still going to be attacking you. Satan is still going to come after you. Satan is still going to come after your family. Satan is still going to put his ranks up against your destiny and your purpose. And me and you, we got to know how to fight in this thing. He attacks your mind with so many different things that before you know it, you're so angry and you're so frustrated and you're wondering, yo, why am I so angry right now? Why am I taking it out on this? Why is this happening? They didn't even say nothing to make me angry. It's because it's a satanic attack against you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. My wife is beautiful. I love her and she's incredible. I have these moments, and it's happened less now. I want to teach you something. And it's happened less now than it's ever happened before. But I remember that there were these moments that I would go and, you know, I would want to take a friend or a pastor or something. We would go eat. And we would eat, and everything would be good. And, you know, we'd be fine and hang, you know, talking, et cetera, et cetera. And then it would come for the bill, and you know how you get with it. No, psst, I got this. Relax. Put your wallet back. Hey, psst, stop. I got this. Pull my card out and here's my personal debit card. You know, go ahead and swipe that. Or I would go up to the front and I would swipe it at Chick-fil-A or whatnot. And when I'm swiping it, it would be like, I'm sorry, sir, the card says decline. There's no way the card says decline. Stop, I rebuke you. And slide again, I'm sorry, it says decline. Can I talk to your manager? Your machine's obviously broken. I try to rub it, you know, rub it on your hair, do like the Nintendo. Try to get the card and keep swiping. And after a while, I'm like, yo, what is going on? It's declined. And I'm like super embarrassed. And I remember that I would grab my phone and I'd be like, yo, babe, I don't know what's going on. Like our personal debit card, it's declining right now. It's off. And she says, oh, baby, I turned the card off. I want you to understand what I turned the car off me. I turned the card off. There is nobody more shrewd with finances than my wife. My wife is the one that would align everybody's finances together. She's smart. She is determined. She does not let us go one second or one penny over our budget, whether it comes to church or our personal finances. She will shut my card off. I'm a grown man. I made this money. And she, no, I'll shut it off. What do you need to buy? And I'm like, babe, I'm with a friend of mine. Just turn the card on. Now I know. Now, before I go hang out with a friend, I'm like, babe, I need about 20 bucks. Can you let me get 20 bucks? She's like, yeah, I'll turn the card back on for you. This is the season that I feel like you're in right now. And I feel like the Lord is saying, stop swiping. I want you to understand, you're trying to contend in the physical, you're swiping. You're trying to figure out with the marriage and you're arguing and you're going back and forth and you're thinking, I gotta take another job or I gotta move or I gotta leave this place. And you're trying to operate all these things in the physical when in reality, God is waiting for you in the spiritual, that he wants to actually operate because there are strongholds that are holding you back in the physical. And that if you begin to contend and you begin to talk to God, that he will allow angels and dispatch angels to fight on your behalf, to break the chains over your finances, to break the chains over your family, to destroy the strongholds that Satan is trying to place over you. I want you to understand that there is a spiritual realm. We talked about it. This is mother to the physical realm. Remember when we did the Unnormal series last week and Jason finished it off beautifully. But this spiritual realm, it's mother to the physical realm. What happens? God was hovering over the waters as a spirit. And then he said, let there be. A spirit spoke into the natural, and all of a sudden land came up and the stars and the sky and man appeared, because the spiritual realm is mother to the physical realm. And God says, let there be. The moment that you begin to contend in the spiritual, that you begin to fight for your family, that you don't run to the Robitussin and the Ritalin first, but that you run to God and for your children and for your family and for your health. When you begin to contend in the spiritual, it starts to affect the natural, that you begin in the morning not to jump on social media and going four different ways because four different people's opinion and your head is spinning, but that you would dive into the word of God, that you would get onto your knees and that you would begin to fight for your family early in the morning, that you would begin to say, Lord, I want to watch as my family comes back together. I want to watch as a wayward son comes back, as the husband comes back, as the finances begin to move forward, as things begin to happen in the physical, because you're contending in the spiritual. You'll start to watch the effects. You got to fight in the spiritual. Satan is after you. He's putting all of these things over you, and you have these strongholds and you're fighting against these things. But I believe that today it changes. I believe that today it breaks. I believe that God is going to bring freedom to your household, that God is going to bring freedom to your marriage, that God is going to bring freedom to your kids. I believe that today the chains break. Come on, if you believe that in that text chat, would you put a heart? Would you put some praying hands? Would you put some hands up? Would you put some strong arms? Let's strong arm the devil. Let's bombard the gates of heaven, and let's watch as the ranks of Satan are pushed back, because God would dispatch and God will dispatch angels to fight on your behalf. Come on, if you believe that, throw amen in the chat. I'm believing that it ends today. Yo, I don't know what to do right now. Yo, I'm terrified. You're talking about demons. You're screaming at me. You're sweating. Do I hide? Do I hold my Bible? Like, what do I do? Do I sleep with my Bible? I don't know what to do. Like, I'm terrified. You don't need to be terrified. You're a son. You're an heir. You're a daughter. You're an heir. God has you on your side. The man who created, the spirit that created this spiritual realm, he's your father. He's on your side. He's fighting on your behalf. You already won. For Jesus on this cross, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. That's your father. But you know, if I'm honest with you, this whole thing, whew, I don't know what to do right now. I really can't say that I'm a son or a daughter. That's easy. You can become a son or a daughter. This isn't that hard. This is not you being strong or you being able to do it under your own might. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn being a son or a daughter. This comes by way of God's strength, God's power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God does that. How do I do that, Tino? I want in. I'm tired of my life being bound. I'm tired of being addicted to pornography. I'm tired of being addicted to alcohol. I'm tired of breaking trying to turn my phone off or putting screens or putting filters. And I'm tired of doing all of these things. And I don't know what to do. You give your life to Jesus today. And it's as simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, that you shall be saved.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. We hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can read a message from our pastors, partner with us by giving online, and learn more about what is happening in the life of our church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on all social media platforms at MyGreater.